With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
So hello everybody and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host Ben, still drying off from last weekend, ridiculous. And down the other end of the phone, also well and truly dried by now, is Mr. James Hayes, social media officer from the league. Hello James, how are they?
I'm not too bad, yourself Ben.
well, my phone's not been the same since. I go to a football match on Saturday, it gets called off, and then I have to walk back to the tram stop with the phone in my pocket, in my waterproof coat, let me add, dear listener, in its pocket, and it's soaked. I don't know what I'm going to do this week for interviews, how it's all going to work, but pray for Ben's phone is what we're saying this week. Hashtag pray for Ben's phone. Thank you. James, a lot of postponements from last weekend. It was very, very wet, and really we should start off by wishing, sending our best to Tadcaster Albion, because we're not just talking about a match being postponed here. It was severe damage being caused.
Literally the day after, they just received £25,000 off build base as well, so serious damage there. You look at the photos from the next day, no idea what's going to happen, but hopefully all can be fixed before the next game on the 30th.
The club has launched a crowdfunder appeal, and obviously last week we heard from Andrew Charlesworth, the chairman at Tadcaster Albion, about the build base money that are coming in to basically repair the ground from the last bit of damage. So it's really a horrific timing for the club. And well, on Thursday I caught up with the chairman, Andrew Charlesworth, so let's hear what he has to say.
Yeah, well, last Saturday we had euphoria, we had a 3-0 win, and then Sunday it was kind of the other end of the spectrum, total disaster. Our pitch was under 3.5 feet of water, and we were looking at potentially losing the clubhouse, but thanks to the Selby Fire and Rescue, we managed to get our flood doors on in time, and luckily the water didn't get in the clubhouse. And recently the water started to recede, we've managed to start pumping it off the pitch, so it's looking a lot better.
Let's talk about the fire brigade just before we move on. The fire brigade, how did they assist?
Well, luckily, we went down to the clubhouse, a few of the volunteers and committee members, and we were met by about a 3.5 foot great big wall of massive water between the dry land and our clubhouse. Luckily, the fire brigade were there helping some of the people in the houses at the end of the road, and they had a small inflatable boat, so they managed to take two of us across so we could put our flood doors on, and they assisted greatly. So many, many thanks to those guys. And it was Bob Hoskins, their captain, chief commander, whatever he's called, who helped us out. So many thanks to those guys.
Brilliant stuff. But obviously the clubhouse has been saved, and that's great. But there has been some damage.
Yes, unfortunately, we didn't get a warning from the Environment Agency, so all our groundsman's equipment was all underwater. So if you can imagine, it's not exactly clean water. It was had all grit and mud in it. So there's been a significant amount of damage to all our groundsman's equipment. So we've launched a Just Giving page to try and get some money so we can help repair it and get ourselves back on the straight and narrow, on the mechanical equipment side, really.
And the Just Giving link is available on the description to this podcast. And it's... I mean, the water started to subside now, which is great news. What's the turnaround going to be, do you think, to get the pitch ready and the ground back to normal?
Well, yeah, well, luckily we don't have a game this Saturday. It's one of our free weekends, so we're actually having the clean-up day tomorrow and Saturday. If anybody wants to come down and give us a hand, 10 o'clock till 12, Friday and Saturday, down at our pitch. We'll be providing people with gloves, sweeping brushes and shovels, and we've just got to basically clear the terraces, and there's so much debris that was brought in by the river. It looks very forlorn at the moment, so we're hoping we get quite a few volunteers down tomorrow and Saturday to help clear the pitch.
Should they get in touch with you beforehand, just to let you know, for more information and that kind of thing?
No, they can just turn up if they're willing. There'll be jobs for every ability. There'll be people down there organising from 10 o'clock both days on Friday and Saturday.
Andrew Charlesworth there, and like we said, the link to the crowdfunder appeal is available in the description below, as well as on the news section of evilstickleague.co.uk. That's at the really severe end of rain and pitch postponements from last weekend, but there were a lot of postponements across the league on Saturday afternoon, James, and therefore what we've got to talk about is just 5 results from Saturday afternoon. As I look outside my window, it's night time, so who knows? But before it was sunny, when it was daytime, it was sunny. So hopefully there'll be more matches on this weekend, and we'll have a full fixture preview for those matches with Yorkshire Coast Radio's Andrew Snaith. He'll be joining us later in the show. Should say also, coming up on this week's show, we're going to hear from the management team at Stafford Rangers and at Gainsborough Trinity. And we're also going to try and catch up with Joe Edwards at the Express and Star as well to talk about that 4-4 draw between Nantwich Town and Hensford Town last weekend. And a big match took place, and not necessarily, it was more a big match for the outcome, because it was quite seismic, really. Scarborough Athletic 1, Stalybridge Celtic 2. And following that match, Steve Kittrick departed the club. So we've had Steve on numerous times, and you know, we wish him all the best for the future. And I'm pretty sure he's going to bounce back soon. But taking over now is Steve Roberts as interim manager of the club to the end of the season. For more on this news, on Thursday afternoon, I caught up with Martin Dowie from the Scarborough News.
Yeah, it has been an interesting week, Ben. Well, initially, Scarborough lost on Saturday. Obviously, they were 7 minutes away from winning against Stalybridge Celtic, so maybe that could have changed a lot of things. But after the game, the decision was made to dismiss Steve Kittrick and Chris Balder. Well, since Steve's come out on record thanking the fans and thanking everyone at the club, saying he was a bit confused about the whole situation and all that kind of thing. And Steve Roberts has taken over as assistant. Steve's a local lad. He's grown into the club. He's been at the club for 6 years, and so it's he's probably the logical choice to take it forward.
We had Steve Kittrick on a few times before Christmas, because Scarborough were riding high, maybe definitely for the playoffs, but also potentially for the title at one point. And then there was just that messy period just across winter, where Scarborough just couldn't get any run of form going at all, and they've not really recovered from that, have they?
No, I mean, talking to the players, they said when they were top of the table, they were overachieving, and I think that's probably the case, because there was a few performances that they won, and it's great when you come away with a win and perform not to the best of your ability, and that happened quite a few times earlier in the season. I think maybe it levelled off. Because it was always going to, because you have a purple patch and then you tend to come back down to earth, don't you? So, and speaking to a lot of the players since, spoke to Michael Coulson in midweek, also spoken to goalkeeper coach Tom Morgan. They've said that the players have probably let the management team down because the performances haven't been anywhere near as good as they were last season. And I think that's probably cost Steve his job. And yeah, that's pretty much it, really. So,
I think because of the performance of South Shields, and they forget that Scarborough was a division below last season, and you know, yeah, it is the first season since promotion, that kind of thing. But football carries on, and this weekend, Scarborough are very much in a playoff race now, with the likes of Gainsborough Trinity and potentially with Buxton. And this is a big game this weekend. So what do you think Steve Roberts can do now? Is everyone hoping for a new management bounce?
Yeah, I mean, Steve, being a local lad, the fans have all jumped behind him. He's released a few statements since he's taken over, just trying to breathe more positivity into it and get the lads enjoying the football again. You know, a lot of managers say that when they take over, and you know, it does tend to kick lads on. Speaking to a few of the players as well, I've just spoken to Tommy Taylor. He said, you know, the lads are looking forward to the rest of the season. If Lady Luck's on the side, then you know they can reach the playoffs because they're more than capable. The squad's a very good squad. You know, you've got some good players in there. You've got Michael Coulson, James Walsh, etc., etc., etc. And you know, Buxton is a stiff test. Obviously, you know, they're going to be a good side at home. It's a decent trek for Scarborough lads, but I think they are up to the challenge. And if they do hit the form that they can hit and play the football that they can play, the show at home on the 3G pitch, then they're more than capable of doing it.
And obviously, there's going to be a fair few twists and turns, I think, before we get towards the end of April. And where's the best place to keep abreast of all the previews, post-match reaction and all the breaking news going on at Scarborough Athletic?
Yeah, I mean, we do an awful lot on match days and during the week on the Scarborough News website. There's always plenty up there, you know, video interviews. One thing I want to say about Steve Kitterick, he was great to work with, and he always gave a value for money after match interview. So we'll have to put a bit of pressure on Steve Roberts now, see how he does. But yeah, if anybody wants to keep up with Scarborough, you're more than welcome to come on our website, and we'd really appreciate it. www.thescarboroughnews.co.uk.
So Martin Dowie there from Scarborough News joining us here on the Evo Stick NPL show. Big, big news, that one, James, coming out of Scarborough this week.
Particularly with the other teams in action around them too, results going against them. Yeah, Scarborough had a bit of a poor run recently, but every team in that top six has at some point this season.
Is it not because at the same time Gainsborough Trinity have gone on a good run and, you know, Scarborough Athletic aren't just one win outside the playoffs, it's 4 points, and that's crucial now with seven games left. Especially when you factor in the fact that Gainsborough Trinity won their six-pointer on Saturday against Basford United by 1-0. That seems like a big result, that one, for Gainsborough Trinity.
Yeah, a huge result there. And again, if anything, that takes pace without the playoff picture, I think, now for the season. 10 points behind with 8 games to go. It was a very, very tough pass for them to get back up there. With Kitterick leaving at the same time. But again, it's just how quick can Scarborough gel back to push forward? Because if they could quite easily fall away or invite Buxton back into the fray at this moment in time, if not careful.
Well, we'll come back to Buxton in a second, because Buxton have put themselves back into it, haven't they? But let's stick with Gainsborough Trinity. Basford United 0, Gainsborough Trinity 1. Gainsborough Trinity now 4 points inside the playoffs. Let's hear now from the manager at Gainsborough Trinity. It's welcome return to Liam King.
Yeah, obviously everyone's happy in camp at the minute. Things are going well. I've had obviously four wins on the bounce, so the lads are buzzing really at the minute. So it's just important that we try and keep pushing on like we have been doing. Got a big game against Marine tomorrow, and then obviously a tough side to play against. Do really well away from home as well. So let's hope the lads continue to keep putting the good performances in.
I mean, like you say, you have been on a great run, and you know, the last time we spoke, it was just as you were taking over at the club. I mean, what's been the changes that you've made?
Well, I've not done anything drastic, but I think, like you said, it's the lads have responded well to me coming in. Obviously, we've worked on a lot of things than we didn't really do previously, and everybody knows what I expect from them, so. The lads have really took it on board, which has been good and obviously positive for everybody at the club, because it's showing on the pitch at the minute. But as we all know, football can change very quickly, so we're just taking each game as it comes now. And like you said, I'm still caretaker manager, and I'll keep continuing to obviously give everything that I can to help Gainsborough Football Club.
Now, I know it is a case of, you know, taking week by week and every game as it comes and all that, but we are hitting that home straight now. So how do you keep everyone at it so they don't get too complacent? Because, you know, this game against Marine, Marine need a few more points just to secure themselves of survival this season. So this is a big banana skin.
Exactly. It makes Marine very dangerous. I wouldn't say it's a banana skin, because they're a good side. Do you know what I mean? Nobody has the right to beat anybody in our league, and what it is if the lads obviously been training all week, they there seems a lot of bite around the camp at the minute, and everyone's competitive. We've got a good squad. The chairman has let me bring a couple in, which has boosted it, and everybody's fighting for places, which is a good it's a good thing to have in a team pushing to get in the playoffs at the end of the season. And like you said, it's getting to a tricky stage now, and you need to pick up points. And obviously, the performance at Basford last week was obviously excellent, and coming away with all 3 points is fantastic. A very tough place to go. So, like I said, that's gone now. It's now Marine, and we've obviously move on to that.
And in the distance next week, you've got Warrington as well. So, you know, like you're saying about no easy games, that's one of the particular hard ones. And
yeah.
and you know, not just that, but you've also got an away trip to Workington coming up in April as well. So, you know, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, like you said, Warrington's a tough place to go. Obviously, had a really good season, Warrington have. And like you feel, they've been a big shout for promotion. So, like you said, when you're up the top of the table, these are the games that you obviously earn to be in. And like you said, when you're up there, they turn into even bigger games, because every point helps now. The season hasn't, there's still a lot to play for in for Gainsborough Trinity. And like you said, it's different swings around about Marina trying to stay up. They'll need points, so they'll be dangerous. Where obviously, you're better off with a mid-table sort of team now. But like I said, there's going to be a lot of tough games out there. Anyone can beat anybody in our league. Obviously, Ferriby's gone now. They was kind of the ones that we didn't pick up a lot of results. But it's like I said, everybody's dangerous in this league. So, yeah, looking forward to the challenge.
And finally, Liam, are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it, yeah. Not getting a lot of time, but I'm still learning, like I said. I've obviously got a lot of experience in my footballing and won a lot of trophies, so that's put me in good stead, because I know kind of how it works in successful dressing rooms. Obviously, I like to think I've been really good at the management side of it with the lads, and obviously got everybody on side. So, like I said, the lads have been great for me, and I'm caretaker, and I'm just enjoying the experience, really, because it's going to be valuable, this experience. And like I said, everything's easy at the minute, but things can soon change. But like I said, we've got to keep the momentum going and hopefully get in them playoffs.
Liam King there, interim manager at Gainsborough Trinity, and if he keeps this up, he's probably going to have the job permanently, I'd imagine, because he's doing a great job there, isn't he, James?
Yeah, indeed. So I think at the same time, if this was how they started the season over the last couple of, on the form they had, they would have been title contenders.
Well, for Gainsborough Trinity, yeah. Gainsborough Trinity, four, as we said, 4 points inside the playoffs. Speaking of fours, Hensford Town 4, Nantwich Town 4. 10 points the gap now between Hensford Town and Michelover Sports, who weren't in action on Saturday. And for Nantwich Town, that sees them 8 points inside the playoffs. What do you reckon to that one there for Nantwich Town? Because, you know, they've opened up an 8 point gap now inside the playoffs. There's not too many games left of the season now, James. Just 7 for themselves. Is a point enough at this stage?
I don't think it's enough to get seal in the playoffs. But if Nantwich had any intention to go for the title, I think that point settled it more than anything there. It's a big stretch, especially now they've got games in hand against the top three, who don't have to play each other as well. But again, nice opportunity there to maybe try and get a second or third for the playoffs. But again, I think Hensford Town will be absolutely delighted with that point. I said last week, I think Hensford should be safe at that point. And obviously they are now. Let's be realistic. I don't think there's much more for them to worry about for the rest of the season. And they can just go back to prepare for next season.
So Hensford Town 4, Nantwich Town 4. And we reckon that might be Hensford Town clear of the relegation picture now. It's still... It's 10 points. But I think Nicky Eden might be satisfied with that now. And for more on Hensford Town and a little bit about Stafford Rangers, let's hear now from Joe Edwards from the Express and Star. So, Joe, a big thank you for joining us, and quite an epic match on Saturday, a 4-4 draw between Hensford Town and Nantwich Town. And I suppose that's what Nicky Eder's trying to bring to Hensford, that you know, never will die attitude. And it seemed to work quite well on Saturday.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't short of excitement, was it? And kind of a fitting way to kick off a bit of a new era, wasn't it, for Hensford? Obviously, got that local consortium involved in the club now. And yeah, it was a thrilling game to cap it all off. And obviously, they would have wanted to see out the win and kicked off in real style. But you know, things are looking a lot more positive now for Hensford. Obviously, been a turbulent season, really, especially a turbulent past couple of months with the whole owner FC speculation surrounding them potentially taking over Hensford. But they've got themselves on a bit of a footing now with this local consortium, and hopefully there are some good times ahead.
Like you say, it is a bit of a more steadier footing at Hensford. And I mean, what's the mood like, do you feel, at Keys Park? As it is 10 points to the relegation zone now, nearly done and dusted for that kind of thing. So Nicky can start to look towards the future.
Yeah, I think the overriding emotion will be relief, won't it? I know it's not done yet, but I think they'll just be quite happy to just get this season done and dusted out the way, and then, you know, have that kind of steadiness in place to then hopefully make a better fist of it next season. It has been a difficult one from the outset, really, hasn't it? And Hensford have, you know, spent a few years now in the Northern Premier, not having the kind of success in the table that you would expect them to. But yeah, I mean, off-field issues, of course, play their part, and hopefully this is kind of the first step towards those being ironed out, really, and then in turn on the pitch they can improve and really be in that top half playoff contention next season, where for a club its size and with the backing that it's had in the past, should be.
And we speak about club sizes. While we've got you on, we might as well talk about Stafford Rangers as well. And, you know, we talked about that never will die attitude. And, well, that 1-0 draw on Tuesday night with Witton Albion and a 90-minute equaliser there for Paul Bignot. I mean, Stafford Rangers, they too have been on a bit of a journey. They're not quite out of the relegation pitch at the moment, 7 points the gap. But the management duo there have made Stafford really difficult to beat. They pick up so many draws, and if they can get a win, they get a win as well. That mood seems to be improving as well at Master Road.
It does, and I think you've got to look at signings like Bignot that have really helped them. I covered Telford in National North last season, and they did a similar thing. They signed Paul Bignot while they were battling relegation, just to kind of get his experience in and around the dressing room, and players like this can, you know, be a bit of a stopgap, but he may not well be at Stafford Rangers next season. But, you know, the job that he can do while you're in this position in tables is invaluable, because he's got that experience and pops up with goals like that. And, you know, those signings are, you know, worth the weight in gold. And, you know, they've got some decent players there, and they've got in Alex a very passionate man at the helm, of course being helped by Andy Fern there, you know, officially in joint manager's roles. But spoke to Alex a few times, a very passionate man, good, you know, young coach, and very forward thinking. And, you know, wouldn't be all that surprised if, you know, Stafford, if they do stay up, decide to give him pre-season and see how he does next season, to be honest. But it's up to them. They could go down a completely different route. But if they do stay up, and they do seem quite a united group, so I think they could do a lot worse than giving Alex a go.
I was going to say, I mean, from your perspective, you know, covering football in that Staffordshire area, it is quite, both Hensford and Stafford are sizeable clubs and really should be towards the top end. So from your perspective, hoping that, you know, this season now, towards the end of the season, it's a bit of a springboard for next year.
Yeah, that's it. And I think both of them are crying out for a bit of stability as well. And obviously, Hensford have got the man who they wanted in Nicky Eden, and hopefully he can be the one to take them forward next year. But I think, you know, obviously, the Neil Kitchen came to the end of his 4 years at Stafford, and Steve Burr came in. He was seemingly more out of sentiment than actually, you know, than
we thought it would turn out. I think it obviously was a very difficult one to turn down. He said it in hindsight that he perhaps should have called it a day before taking on the Stafford job. But, you know, they've got Alex there and there who is at the other end of the spectrum that Steve was. He's just making his start in the game. And he's doing a good job. I think he picked up stuff off Steve, and he's picked up bits from here and there. Obviously, a player that's had vast experience, you know, in Northern Premier kind of level and above. And he obviously knows it well. He knows the players well. They've got a decent squad there, although the table doesn't suggest it. But I think if you can fine tune in the summer, perhaps give Alex a go, then that might be the recipe to follow.
Well, if you're a Hensford Town fan or a Stafford Rangers fan, for following non-league football and football more generally in that Staffordshire area, Joe, where's the best place to keep abreast of all the ongoing developments?
Yeah, keep it Express and Star, obviously writing for the Express and Star, and maybe kind of did a lot of the around the speculation around this Arna Football Club perhaps taking over Hensford recently. But yeah, it's kind of a Monday supplement, our final whistle supplement. You'll find plenty of non-league reports in there, whether it's Stafford, whether it's Hensford, or even the Southern League Central sides that we've got, Rushall, Stourbridge as well. So yeah, if you're looking for any non-league action, a bit of a non-league fix, keep it Express and Star.
So Joe Edwards there from the Express and Star joining us here on the Evo Stick NPL show. And as we discussed there, James, as well, Stafford Rangers with a 1-0 draw on Tuesday night away at Witton Albion. And Stafford Rangers on 39 points, 7 points clear of the relegation zone now. Mickleover, Workington obviously still have games in hand, but Stafford Rangers there still getting the points on the board, unbeaten now in the last five, and there's three draws in that mix as well, obviously, but it's still points, and that's been the game all along for Stafford.
Yeah, indeed. Again, they've sort of recovered from a very, very bad start to the season. Let's not forget that since Steve Burr left the club, they had a little bit of a renaissance and came back into life the second part of the season. They've been a really on-form team. So again, to get a point against Wern isn't a bad factor, especially the fact now I think that's put Witten out of the playoff picture too. They've done well to continue the form that they've had from around the Christmas period.
Well, let's hear now from one of the joint managers at Stafford Rangers. It's a welcome return to the show to Mr. Andy Fern.
Well, it was quite mixed emotions, actually, Ben, because on Tuesday night, we spoke quite harshly to the players at half-time because we felt that we'd, probably since Alex and I have taken over, that was our poorest performance in the first half. We just weren't on our game. We were delaying delivery of the ball into the box. Passing was sloppy. We looked a bit lethargic. And fair credit to Witton Albion. They were a team in form and they pressed us strongly. And I think they fully deserved to go in 1-0 at half-time. Second half, they've had an injury which has forced them to move more to a back five, and they've defended like Trojans, and we've literally thrown the kitchen sink at them without really forcing Greg Hall, their keeper, to make any real fantastic saves. He's made routine saves and done them well, but we just kept on going, and we've got a resilience about us at the moment, Ben, which suggests we can always pick up points, and I'm delighted that it was in the 93rd minute that we got the goal from Paul Bignett, who got his first goal for the club. Slightly disappointed that I felt that had the goal come 5 minutes earlier, we could possibly have gone on and won the game, because I just felt they looked totally deflated once we finally breached their back line. At the end of the night, I'll certainly see that as a point gained rather than 2 points lost, because they're a very good side with an Albion and have deserved to be where they are.
Absolutely. And for yourselves, though, I mean, one thing that you said to me, I think in our last interview or maybe the one before, was you want Stafford Rangers, if you're not going to get the wins, to at least pick up something from matches. And, you know, you're not losing that many games, and that's been crucial, hasn't it? Just picking up the points and keeping the thing ticking over, and now you're closing in on that 40-point mark.
Well, yes, thanks, Ben. I mean, it's true, and we keep repeating to the lads, you know, we've lost one game in 11 now, and yes, we have had I think five draws in that. But we've worked very hard on the discipline and the defensive side of the team, because we've known from early in the season that we can score goals, that we've got a very offensive side, but we've been like a sieve at the back, seeping in goals prior to Christmas, and we've worked very strongly. We've brought a couple of very experienced players in Matty Hill and Paul Bignett, who've added to the back four and really given us a solidity about us now. And we've got this belief that we'll always score a goal at some times in the game, and the belief that if we do go a goal behind, it's not the end of the day, and we can recover and we can get something out of the game. And I think we proved that more so than ever the other Saturday when we went to Warrington and beat them on their home patch.
And the return encounters, funnily enough, is this weekend. And, Paul Carded's side coming to town. I mean, this is going to be a tricky game for Warrington, but it's a tricky game for you as well, because they are title contenders.
Without a shadow of a doubt, Warrington are a class act, and Paul's a superb manager at this level and above. And ironically, Paul was chatting to me on Tuesday night before the game, because he took the opportunity to come and have a look at us on Tuesday night at Witton Albion. So he's probably seen that resilience to our side. At their ground, they suffered through losing Garrity through a sending off fairly early on. I don't think that's the reason that we went to beat them comprehensively, because often you find that when you play against a side with 10 men, they're more resilient than they are with 11 men. And we've done that on a couple of occasions this season, away at Lancaster and at home to Rushall in the FA Trophy. But I think Saturday, we're under no illusion that if we felt playing at Cantilever Park was going to be difficult, I think playing at home against, a wounded bear in Warrington is going to be a very, very difficult game, because it's a crucial game for both sides. One, for us to maintain our momentum and keep picking up points to take us away from the relegation zone, and more so for Warrington to maintain their title challenge. But we're expecting a brute of a game.
And that's the thing about you mentioned the word momentum. You want to get to a stage where ideally you can start to think towards next season. I mean, you've already started to make the signings and the alterations. So I suppose my final question is, Andy, when do you start thinking about next season?
I think we can start thinking about next season, Ben, when we're mathematically safe, and there's a long way to go yet. I mean, The league table looks a lot healthier for us than it did 4 or 5 weeks ago, but with 7 games still to play, and every one of them, to use a cliche, a cup final for us, we have to win every one or approach each game to win every one. Once we're mathematically safe, then I think we can start to plan ahead, in terms of where we are next season and which players we can retain at the football club.
Andy Fearn there, joint manager at Stafford Rangers, joining us here on the Evo Stick NPL show. That's nearly it for our results roundup from the weekend. There's just a couple more matches which we need to talk about. Hyde United 1, Lancaster City 2. A great result, that one, for Mark Fell's side. And is that, I mean, we're back next week for the monthly show, so I can ask this same question again. But 43 points, that's nearly it, isn't it, for Lancaster?
Yeah, he should see himself safe with that one, especially with the fact like some Marines still to play, some of the teams down that bottom nine of the table at this moment in time too. I think just on that factor alone, we'd see Lancaster safe. But again, at the same time, Hyde, I think the results knock them out of the playoff race now as well, realistically, down to a three-horse race for that last spot.
And when it comes to the final result, and speaking of that race for that last spot in the playoffs, as it were, Grantham Town 0, Buxton 1. Buxton now 5 points behind Gainsborough Trinity, but crucially, only 1 point behind Scarborough. So that feels like a big result there for Buxton, James.
Yeah, again, if they lost that again, I think it would have been down to Gainsborough and Scarborough for that last spot. But again, the last couple of weeks, Buxton are now on the on-form team. They seem unstoppable. They're going to have the stamina coming into the running. Can we say we're in the running now?
I think we can, can't we?
We've been saying that since November, James, in all fairness. Well, that's our look at all the results from last weekend. And obviously, we've got fixture preview with Andrew Snaith coming up in a second, where hopefully there'll be a lot more matches to talk about next week. But speaking of next week, it's the monthly show next week, James. And I look forward to seeing you, where we'll be back at the Heat and Hop. And you have a lovely weekend in the meantime, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you, Ben.
So, a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. And it's now time to draw our eyes to the future. And joining me hand in hand, knowing full well that last week's preview with Thomas Feeney was more or less a complete washout, down the other end of the phone now, dry as you like, it's Mr. Andrew Snaith from Yorkshire Coast Radio. Hello, Andy. How are you?
Evening, Ben. Yeah, very well, thank you. Good to be back with you.
And we've got a plethora of fixtures. First things first, how's the pitch looking up in Whitby for this weekend's match with Workington?
Oh, no problems at all, Ben. It's been nice and dry this week, so yeah, we're expecting that game to go ahead with no problems at all.
So, big disclaimer, we're recording the show on Wednesday, so if there is some kind of weather event, we can't be held responsible for the weather, unfortunately. But we're going to give this preview a good go, and we'll come back to the Whitby Town Workington match shortly. But kicking things off, let's go towards the top end of the table. Bamber Bridge hosting Farsley Celtic, whilst at the same time, Warrington will be in action away at Stafford Rangers. Big banana skins there for the top two. And lurking will be South Shields against Hyde United this weekend. Firstly, Farsley trip to Bamber Bridge. That's a big banana skin, that one, for Adam Lakeland's side.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it can be a difficult place to go. Bamber Bridge, they have got some quality players. Yeah, you look at Waddicad up front, he's the standout man for them. On the day, Bamber Bridge can be a very, very exciting side. Going forward, I imagine it's just the defensive side, I think, that maybe lets them down. Certainly seeing them earlier on in the season, that was the case. But yeah, they're a real Jekyll and Hyde side. But if they are on it, then they could definitely cause a problem or two for Farsley, who, to be fair, have been outstanding all season. It's going to be quite a title race, Ben. I'm enjoying it.
And, well, at the same time, like we said, Warrington have got Stafford Rangers, and they're not a team I'd want to play at this stage of the season. Stafford Rangers have already beaten Warrington a couple of weeks ago. This is tough, because Stafford Rangers, even though they're down towards the bottom end, one thing when we spoke to Andy Fern in the past that he wants to achieve is to make sure they're tough to beat. And Stafford Rangers are tough to beat. If they don't get wins, they certainly get draws. This is a nightmare for Paul Carden this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're spot on there. And no better evidence of that than Tuesday night when Paul Bignot with that last-minute equaliser at Witton Albion. It just shows to a stubborn side. They don't know when they're beaten. And again, they could prove a difficult opponent for Warrington. So yeah, absolutely. I think that both those ties are tricky. And of course, you're going to go on to South Shields now, who are really starting to bridge that gap between themselves and the top two.
Absolutely. And like I said, South Shields this weekend hosting Hyde United. A couple of bad results for Hyde United. I think that's probably put the kibosh on their playoff hopes. When we spoke to Darren Kelly a few weeks ago, I don't actually think there are hopes. The hope is to build for the future, and that's what they're doing at Hyde United. But that said, There's some rivalry there, isn't there, between South Shields and Hyde United, and the from last season, and this isn't going to be a gimme for South Shields.
No, not at all. We've seen Hyde go and surprise teams. They were doing it for most of last season. If you go to South Shields and get a result, certainly that would be impressive, considering South Shields' home form, which is superb. I agree with you. I think they've just got too much to do to get involved in the playoff picture themselves, Hyde, but they can certainly influence results. And they'll be a tricky proposition. They're not a bad side away from home either. So Shields will have their hands full, I would suspect, at the weekend.
Now, Nantwich Town obviously had an epic 4-4 draw last weekend with Hensford, hoping for a bit one better this weekend. When I mean that, I mean a win, not necessarily 5-5. Nantwich Town against Grantham Town this weekend. What's that? 8 points inside the playoffs. Dave Cook's side just needs a couple more wins, don't they? And they pretty much sealed it, their playoff spot.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, Nantwich have been one of the success stories of the season. Yes, they're not going to at this stage look like they're going to do enough to get back involved in the title picture. But I mean, to get that top five berth, they had managerial changes not too long since, but they've I think they've surprised a few people this season, Ben, with the results they've put together and that they've been up at the business end. Terrific stuff. And I suppose equally, Grantham has surprised a few that they've struggled so much this campaign.
Well, Gainsborough Trinity are the team in the final playoff berth at the moment. Berth, that sounds very posh, doesn't it? Playoff berth.
It sounds like a posh, like a wharf or something.
Yeah.
The Riverside Complex.
Yeah, that kind of works, doesn't it, with Marine? Gainsborough Trinity against Marine this weekend. Gainsborough Trinity, they've had that new management bounce, haven't they, from Liam King coming in, and it's working quite well for them at the moment. And with everything that's gone on at Scarborough, stop laughing, Andrew. Gainsborough Trinity are in a very strong position at the moment, but like I said, new management bounce. Steve Roberts has come in as the interim manager at Scarborough, so Gainsborough can't rest on the laurels.
No, not at all. And you're quite right that often when you see a guy come in who's popular in the dressing room, but Steve Roberts, by all accounts, a popular figure, he might just galvanise them. They have got a strong side. You know, their squad is good enough. They've got both of the sides. We talk about Gainsborough and Scarborough. Both of those sides have been top of the table. I mean, seeing Gainsborough earlier in the season, I was so impressed. I really genuinely thought they were going to go on and win the title. They then had the middle of the season from hell, and now they've come back with that, as you call it, new manager bounce, and they've turned things around, and they're looking like they're going to get that. They're going to snatch that playoff berth, and rightfully so. And also a little bit unusual in their record, almost identical home and away. So they've been consistent throughout on their travels and at the North Home.
Like I said, Scarborough Athletic will be aiming to keep them honest, but it's a big game this weekend, isn't it? And almost winner stays on. Buxton against Scarborough, and with Basford having a bit of a knockout blow potentially last weekend, it is down, I think, to Scarborough and Buxton, remarkably, with seven or so games left to play. Whether you agree with that or not, Andy, I don't know, but this is a big game, an important game between Buxton and Scarborough.
Yeah, you almost think that if it's a draw, that would almost rule them both out. You know, there has to be a decisive result either way. But, I mean, I really wouldn't rule out Scarborough putting a run together between now and the end of the season. How often do you see it? And they have still got the players, the personnel, to be challenging up at the top. I suspect that's what's lost Steve Kittrick his job, the fact that he has a good side, a very, very good side that should be higher up than it is. I think Steve Roberts himself said it was Michael Colson, the striker, who said that they perhaps have let Steve Kittrick down a bit with the performances. And I really wouldn't rule out Scarborough putting a run together to the end of the season. I don't think that playoff picture is quite settled yet.
What about, do you agree with me, though, that Basford United are potentially out of it? I mean, we mentioned Buxton against Scarborough, they've been an important match. If you do think, dear listeners at home, that Basford and let's throw Witten into the mix, have got an outside chance, well, the pair of them go head-to-head this weekend, and that definitely is winner stays on, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, what you're factoring with those two sides is the game in hand. Yes, they are 5 points behind Buxton in seventh, but they both have a game in hand on them, and Scarborough and Gainsborough Nantwich as well. But that is a big game. You would look at the loser of that team as that tie has been out of it. It's just funny looking at the records. I mean, Basford have scored 72 goals this season. You know, they're up there. There's only South Shields and Farsley who are just above them in 73 and 74, respectively. But they've conceded 62. You know, the defence, I mean, again, you look down the league and there's only two teams that have conceded more. It's been a crazy old season for Basford.
Let's talk about the relegation picture then, because we're getting a bit more clarity, it feels like. Starting off with the teams who've been hovering above the relegation zone for a long time. Firstly, Lancaster City against Hensford Town. Talk about winner stays on. Lancaster on 43 points, Hensford Town on 42 points. A win, I think, for either side. We have got the monthly show next week, and I can hear Sam Owen, Berkey and Swampy now saying, don't be ridiculous, Ben, there's still games to go. But you get towards 45 points with games still left, and that is a bit more comfortable, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Lancaster might be a little worried about that goal difference, which is, you know, minus 19 is pretty poor. But, unless you have a situation where, you know, maybe a little bit like Ferby, where you have, a raft of players leaving the club or something like that, or some financial issue, you would think that those two teams will be comfortably safe now. I don't know whether you've discussed it previously in the show, Ben, about the Ferby situation and how it might affect the rest of the league, whether those results will be allowed to stand or whether it'll be completely expunged.
The problem we've got at the moment is we it's not really clear what the future is at North Ferriby, and I don't actually think that anyone's in a position to say it otherwise. So it is one of them things that might just be a late factor in the relegation and promotion and playoff picture. We covered it last week because it did just break as the show was being edited. So I was a bit caught on the hoof with the announcement that North Ferriby, with the problems that they had and that kind of thing. So we just don't know, unfortunately. We can only speculate. And do you want to speculate or...?
I'll have a little bit of a speculate. But when we had this situation last time, and we had not Shawlin but Spennymoor when they actually had to withdraw, Spennymoor United, I should say. Back in 2004-05, I believe it was.
Oh, what a year. What a year that was.
They played 30... Oh, it was lovely. Yeah. They played about... Yeah, me too, mate. I was in my 20s. They played a similar amount of games to this, actually. Almost a similar place in the season. And their record wasn't expunged. Instead, that the teams that they were yet to play were given, quote-unquote, nil-nil wins.
Right.
So they were given 3 points, but no effect to the goal difference. And then sort of since then, I think there was a rule change, but it's just clear as mud. Nobody, like you said, there's such uncertainty that nobody knows what's going to happen. They've looking at the league. I mean, if they decide to expunge North Ferriby's record completely, I believe it will benefit Buxton.
And the other famous team it would benefit as well would be South Shields, obviously, because they've famously got beat by North Ferriby.
Right at the start of the season.
Yeah, in one of the oddest results of the year, and that could be pivotal. But like we said, we just don't know, and all we can say is just that kind of line, which might be a bit cliche, but I genuinely mean it. You know, just to send our best wishes to the fans, really, because it's a terrible situation.
Totally agree.
Stalybridge Celtic were scheduled to be playing North Ferriby United this weekend, but I don't think that match is going to be taking place. So it's a free weekend for Stalybridge Celtic. Just to get back to the relegation picture, I mean, we'll cover off Workington against Whitby in a second, but there are two spots left. Michelover Sports travelling to Matlock Town this weekend. And Matlock Town have just steadily gone back to the mean, haven't they, really? And which is right in the middle, pretty much, 12th. So it's the it's a lot comfortable. Let's be fair. I mean, what Freckleton's done there is nothing short of amazing, considering where Matlock Town were. This is an important game for their Derbyshire neighbours in Michelover Sports.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no future in the division is increasingly looking difficult. They've got the issue with the goal difference, of course, as well as the fact they're 4 points adrift of Bamber Bridge. They've got games in hand on Bamber Bridge and Grantham above them, but they've got to be winning them, and no doubt starting with this derby game with Matlock. Yeah, you absolutely mentioned Dave Freckinson's efforts there, rightly so. I think almost a little bit of a cloud of negativity that's not quite justified, I think, going into the last few weeks where they've pulled things around, and maybe a bit of perspective needed, that they were struggling. They were really struggling when he came in, and he has steadied the ship. They've had a few bad results, a few weeks back. They had a bit of a bad run, but he's done a terrific job, and I think they'll be in a good place going forward.
And finally, Whitby Town against Workington, and a bit of a derby. And don't worry, that's an old joke for those lapsed listeners who've just come in and haven't listened to the show for a few years. That's just a joke between me and Mr. Snaith. But yeah, local derby there between Whitby Town and Workington. And I don't even know why you're bothering providing coverage, Andrew, because it's only around the corner for Workington fans. It's not like they can't get to the ground themselves. But yeah,
we can walk it.
We'll give you a plug in a second. But where are Whitby at? Is it heading off to Lumpolly in Whitby Town High Street, or is it just seeing how high Chris Hardy's side can get?
You know what? Obviously for Whitby, they're fingers crossed and touch wood that they aren't going to get pulled into things at the wrong end. But they're obviously a long way off the playoff positions as well. So yeah, mid-table comfort, top half finish would be nice. What they have done as of late is put together a little run, and they've got a very, very useful-looking striker in Brad Fuster that we acquired a few weeks back from he was struggling to get into the side at Spennymoor and also at Blythe as well. He hadn't quite got the game time, but he was at Middlesbrough at the start of his career. He's actually got a first team appearance. I think he got a first team goal as well. Came through the youth ranks. Actually, he has England caps at under 15, under 17. He even played under 19 level. He's got a lot of quality. He's coming in. He's got 4 goals in 2 games for Whitby. And he's one to watch just for the end of the season, just to see how we do. He's looked absolutely outstanding, and he's been a bit of it's kind of one of those where you just think, oh, we should come in a few weeks early. We might have actually maybe affected the top end, but obviously nothing huge for Whitby to play for. But he's been a real breath of fresh air the last few weeks, Ben, and I'd expect him to cause Workington's defence a few problems on Saturday.
And full commentary available on Yorkshire Coast Radio?
Absolutely, as always. Yeah, Yorkshire Coast Radio Extra, yorkshirecoastradio.com. Click on the extras link. They've got also a feed from the Scarborough Athletic game as well. And more great coverage from Yorkshire Coast. Paul Conley, Liam Ryder, producer Lee and Josh Crabb there for that game.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. And a big thank you to Andrew Snaith from Yorkshire Coast Radio for joining us this week. Also, a special thanks to all my guests as well earlier in the show. And remember, for all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website evostickleague.co.uk. And while you're on the internet, you can also follow the show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. But I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evostick Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like. From Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.